Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I've read two scripture passages today, and they both present visions of the future. And Isaiah's vision of the future is very positive. It is idyllic. And Luke's vision of the future is the opposite, really. He's warning of wars and persecutions. And I would guess that we pretty much all prefer the positive vision of the future, don't we? But we don't have the option of choosing. That is not in our control. It's hard to know what the future will bring for our world. Will it be positive or negative? And we can only project from our experience of life and make value judgments about what we think things are going to be like, whether they will be better than now or worse than now. But human predictions that are too detailed are usually way off the mark. We all know the story of religious leaders who have established cults based on their predictions of when the earth is going to end. And we've heard the stories about how they've gathered with their followers on hillsides at an appointed time and ready to be taken up into heaven, and only to find that that did not happen for them, because apparently God does not follow our timetables. But that hasn't stopped some people from setting new dates for the end of the world. So those are some negative predictions that haven't worked out, but there's some positive predictions of the way the future is going to look. Those haven't always worked out either. World War I was called the war to end all wars, but it wasn't. There have been multiple wars, even more disastrous than that one. When vaccines were discovered for polio and TB, scientists anticipated a world without disease. But not only have new diseases emerged, diseases like Lyme disease, HIV, Eastern equine encephalitis, but old diseases that we thought were conquered, like measles, have come back. It can be hard to foresee the future, so that may not be our job to do. Isaiah has a wonderful vision of the future, a vision of how God is going to bring about a new and improved version of humanity and creation. And in this image of creation, everything that is wrong with life has been fixed. Now, Isaiah is speaking to some disappointed folks who have already experienced the big gap between their expectations and what reality turned out to be. And Isaiah is telling them that even though they are disappointed, that God is at work. God is wiping away the past. God is creating a future where there is no more loss, because people will not be dying before their time. Not babies, not even older folk. God is creating a future where there is no more disappointment, where there is no more displacement. There will no longer be any refugees. Instead, people will be planted like a tree. They will have a long-term sense of home, a sense of place. They will get to enjoy the fruits of their labors. That's what Isaiah is telling us. And he's telling about a future where there are no more questions about whether God answers prayers or not, because God is responding to our prayers even before we say them, even before we have finished asking. Finally, the future that God is promising is a place where the world is a safe place. And we end with this beautiful image of the wolf and the lamb together. Predators are changing their nature in God's future. No one is threatening anyone else. No one is being threatened. And this is a great vision of the future, especially for people who have already experienced a lot of loss and probably do have those questions about whether God is there for them. On the other hand, in Luke's gospel, the future is a time of trial. And Jesus anticipates that the temple, that most important place of worship for the Jews, the temple will be overthrown. False prophets will be confusing people. There will be wars and earthquakes and famines on every side. And yet, despite this negative image, Jesus does have some reassuring things to say. And there are some good things about the future that Jesus promises. Even as he warns folk, don't be led astray, don't be terrified, don't worry about what you'll say when you're persecuted, he is also reminding them they will get through this. Because God is with them. God is going to give them the words that they need, words that their opponents won't be able to contradict. They are not to rely on anything except God, not even themselves. Jesus is, in fact, showing them a future that is good, but it is a future on the other side of suffering and chaos. This vision is also a vision of possibility of a new heaven and a new earth. So what about for us? What might God have in store for us? I do think that both of these visions of the future point to God. God is the one who is in control. And God will be there in our future, no matter what it looks like. And I think we can pray that if we have to endure scary times, the peaceable kingdom will await us in the end. Now, if you're like me, you want some control. You want to ensure that you are healthy, wealthy, and wise, and you will do whatever you can to ensure that also for your children, for your grandchildren. Maybe you're making wills or setting up trusts to share your abundance with them, or you're sharing your hobbies and your good advice with your grandchildren to shape their characters. But we cannot guarantee any future, anything about it, for us or for them. We cannot ensure that there are no wars or no diseases. And we can't always even shape our own personalities, let alone our children. But our future is in God's hands. And that means it may turn out to be something completely different than what we expect. But no matter what happens, we proclaim that God will be there with us, and that even when those things that are as important to us as the temple are destroyed, we can trust that God will guide us past the terrors into the new heaven and the new earth. And so may God bless us as we gracefully let go of the need to control the future. And wherever that future leads us, may we find God there, giving us the words that we need to speak and answering every prayer, even before we have finished speaking. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.